you're not just asking for handouts. Mm. You're saying, well, we've got this brilliant product and we're also having this incredible impact. And I think that's what's really exciting about social enterprise. And I think we said this before, the way we were kind of envisaging it is Australians only donate a certain amount per year. There's this kind of finite amount of cash that's donated to different causes every year. And I think social enterprises have the opportunity to increase that pool independently. So you're not just taking donations from some other charity.
Right.
You're actually increasing the size of the pool that's getting donated and making an impact.
Welcome to Justice Matters, the podcast inspiring a world where everyone belongs. I'm your host, Tim Buxton.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today we had in the studio, I had a great time chatting with a couple of young entrepreneurs. Jim and Sandy are the founders of Nice Coffee. This is an incredible social enterprise, really with a passion to help inspire education amongst some of Kenya's poorest and most disadvantaged young children. They work and partner with a school in the slums of Kibera, and you get to hear a lot about that story. But in order to do that, they founded a coffee business. And this coffee business is primarily a roastery that started out servicing small to medium-sized businesses. But like a lot of people, when COVID hit, they had to pivot. And they now actually have a delivery van, a van that goes out and provides coffee, as well as a delivery service for people at home to make sure they're stocked up while they're working at home on some good Java. Guys, I had a great time chatting with them, and we really honed in, I think, on the why. You know, if you've got a really strong why, a passionate reason why you want to make a social impact, you want to see justice in this world, then you'll make a way. And these guys have done just that. I know their story will inspire you. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Jim and Sandy from Nice Coffee. Jim, Sandy, thanks for coming in to the studio here on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, our pleasure.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Awesome, man. And you bought me some lovely coffee pods from your coffee company, but
yes.
you're primarily a roaster, the Nice Coffee Company, social enterprise. I'm reading it, what it says on your shirt. Here it says, social coffee, tackling poverty.
Mate.
Yeah, not property.
No.
Poverty.
Haven't got into that game quite yet.
No.
But we're looking.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about who you are. Give us the snapshot and, what you're all
sure.
about.
I'll kick it off, Sandy. Yeah. So, I think, like, this all started, I probably date it back to 2007 when my parents decided to move over to Africa. And they started a business over there. We first went on a holiday, and I remember having my seventh birthday in Nairobi, you know, overlooking the national park and just, yeah, incredible, looking over giraffe and rhino. And then it was a year later. I think Dad became involved in a few school projects over there through a Byron Bay charity. And so he went back without the family, and then, a year later, he comes back to Australia, and literally, without telling us, I remember we were having lunch somewhere, and he tells the family that he'd bought a property over there, and, I think Mum was in tears. And,
he just tells the whole family?
Yeah.
Your mum didn't even
know? It was one of those weird, bizarre things. I sometimes call it maybe a midlife crisis. It's definitely changed our lives. Dad wasn't too sure what to do with the property at the start, but it was like prime location right on the national park in Nairobi.
Mm.
And so the obvious thing was to turn it into a safari lodge. Now my parents, obviously they have no experience in tourism, in Australia, let alone Kenya. They're just, you know, farmers. I grew up on a farm just down in New South Wales. So this was a big, big move. And it turns out mum absolutely loves it. It's her, wow, her passion. It's her pride and joy, the lodge. But yeah, I guess over the years, you know, as it turned into a safari lodge, it took a lot longer than expected, you know, Kenyan politics, all of that. Mm-hmm. But we did become more and more involved with these school projects, and in particular, this school in Kibera slum. And that was through another Australian charity. But unfortunately, I think it was 2012, this charity pulled out of the school. Oh, I think it was, you know, funding reasons, not sure. But my dad kind of, you know, he stepped in and took it as his project. And, I guess when people ask me, like, why social enterprise, why, you know, why this school, it really is, I guess, my dad and his kind of inspiration. He's probably, you know, he probably wouldn't know what social enterprise is, but he's probably the greatest social entrepreneur that I know.
Wow.
You know, ever since moving to Kenya, he's just been involved in so many different projects, whether it be, you know, lion conservation, this school, treating infections with tea tree, which is what we used to grow down in New South Wales. All these different projects, and that's what's really inspired me to get involved and take this on, take this school on, and starting Nice Coffee Co. as the means to do that.
And as you've grown, you've brought along friends for the ride.
Absolutely.
Friends you've known for a long time.
Jim and I, we met in high school.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, like, we became friends. At least I hope we did. I think we did. And one day it was a free dress day, and Jim was wearing the Kenyan Rugby Sevens jersey. And like I was used to, so I grew up for the first like 4 years of my life in Kenya, and kind of always a lot like loved and like always planned to go back to Kenya and live there eventually. And Jim was wearing this like Kenyan Rugby Sevens jersey. And so I was like, what on earth is this? Like, how does this guy even know about Kenya? And then he told me. So we're already friends, and he told me the story about how his dad, just uprooted the whole family and took them over to Kenya when he was seven. And it wasn't long after that that I'd, weaseled my way in and managed to get a flight over to Kenya. And I went and lived with the Chapmans over there for a month over Christmas. It must have been year 10. And that's when I first went into the school in the middle of Kibera slum, which is it's the largest slum in Africa. It's ginormous, about 1 million people, but they don't actually know how many people are in there. And the government kind of refuses to accept it as a dwelling of people.
So that's how we first met, and then I kicked it off, and I think 6 months in, I realized, you know, I can't do this alone. Way more fun and to bring people on board. So Sandy and Nathaniel, another good friend, came on board, and we kind of took this on at full pace.
I love that we have spent, you know, all this time up until this point talking about why and what has driven you to do what you do. Because, you know, I've known what it's like to start something, and unless you really know why and what you're passionate about, you'll get a certain long ways down the track, and you'll hit an obstacle, or there'll be a challenge here and there, and you'll be tempted to kind of think, well, maybe it's not meant to be. Now I'd love to just hear what is the means, what is the method to what is the coffee company side of things that actually you've kind of latched onto to actually, you know, be a means of support to this incredible work in Nairobi.
Yeah, I think Well, I first heard about this idea of social enterprise. It was at university. So I'm studying a Bachelor of Business and Commerce, still am. And, you know, spending all this time in class, in the lectures, learning about, like, you know, profit maximization, you know, across the board in business, whether it be accounting, economics, you know, management. It's all about, I don't know, maximizing the profit of our shareholders, you know, biggest margins, you know, that sort of thing. And I couldn't help but contrast this, like, because every few months I was heading back over to Kenya and, you know, you can't help but contrast these two bizarre, crazy worlds. You know, like, I was so privileged with my education and I guess our high school education. And then going into the school for the first time, it's just like, it's just the other end of the spectrum. You know, I couldn't compare it to anything else I'd ever seen. You know, kids with like absolutely nothing and yet holding on to this this primary education as their one thing of hope that could potentially get them, you know, out of this crazy cycle of poverty. So I'm coming back and forth between Australia and Kenya and, you know, learning about maximizing profit for our shareholders, something just didn't really sit right with me. You know, it didn't quite make sense. And then we actually had a guest speaker come in and he was I think it was West African, and he started a social enterprise. And this is when that, you know, this kind of field is just starting to kick off.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd started one in West Africa, and he said, you know, he couldn't promote it enough. He couldn't encourage us to start something that is more aligned towards social and environmental
impact.
You know, impact instead of just the traditional profit maximizing path. And that really resonated with me. So I did a bit of research. I looked into it, and the first thing that comes up, Social Enterprise Australia, is Thank You. You know, and I think we all kind of idolize them a bit. They're incredible leaders in this space in Australia, and I was fascinated by the idea of using products, you know, that people are already buying or drinking. In our case, you know, every single day.
Yeah,
I think we drink in Australia like 22 million cups a day, something ridiculous, you know.
Yeah. Of coffee or?
We love our coffee, of course. And so that's kind of what gave me the idea. And coffee was that means.
Yeah.
I just being on campus alone, students are drinking so many cups a day. And I thought, now what a great medium this could be.
Yeah, and it coincides with I think there's like at the moment, especially in our generation, there's this huge hunger to be a conscious consumer. People want to become more sustainable. They want to be having an impact when they consume and when they buy a product. And it's incredible because it holds all these companies accountable. And so I think we've coincided with that sort of time, and that's allowed us have a lot of success so far.
For sure.
You know, it makes me think that there is still this ability to, it's not one or the other somehow, right? Like the traditional non-for-profit model can just be just really hard to sustain itself, and it just relies on just continual just giving and giving. But it's not built into it a sense of, well, how can it sustain itself? Like, it doesn't seem to be, it's more like the handout mentality rather than the leg up, right? And so, like, it's encouraging to see young guys like you just, like, launch into, well, we're still studying, we're still learning, but why can't we start and get the ball rolling at maximizing profit and social impact? It seems like a short-term game to just focus on the profit side, because when society is impacted negatively just because pure profits like climate change and we only have limited resources and we see the effects of that, it's not, it's going to come back to bite us in the end, isn't it, right? Whereas if you can marry the two, you can probably help the impact on both ends. I don't know if that...
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Tim. I think that's like why social enterprises are so effective or so promising for us, and that's why we like them. They're a lot more scalable, we feel, and you're not just asking for handouts. You're saying, well, we've got this brilliant product and we're also having this incredible impact. And I think that's what's really exciting about social enterprise. And I think we said this before, the way we were kind of envisaging it is Australians only donate a certain amount per year. So there's this kind of finite amount of cash that's donated to different causes every year. And I think social enterprises have the opportunity to increase that pool independently. So you're not just taking donations from some other charity.
Right.
You're actually increasing the size of the pool that's getting donated and making an impact, which I think is really cool.
Wow, that is really a great way to look at it.
Sandy does a lot of deep thinking at night, I reckon.
And you're studying, so we alluded to that, your study, you mentioning out before we came in the studio, you're studying research.
I'm doing genetics research. So Jim and I are both still at uni. I'm at UQ in Brisbane, and Jim's at Bond doing business. Which is it's been a challenge juggling the two, but incredibly rewarding.
Yeah, and you know, we've had social enterprises on the podcast already. I think we've had one of the first ones was James Bartle from Outland Denim.
That was an incredible interview.
And I just realized I'm wearing his jeans.
Hey man, me too.
So comfortable.
Oh, the odd one out.
So good. Yeah, get with the program. Yeah, right. You didn't get the dress code for today's interview, did you?
Yeah, well, Jim was lucky to get shoes on me this morning. We got halfway down here and I realized I'd forgotten my shoes. So we had to turn back around.
you can be barefoot around here, no worries.
Yeah, I got that vibe.
So we've had, and I think it's, you know, we've had Mantua Sewing social enterprise on. The lecturer of social enterprise, the guru herself, Dr. Ruth Knight. Yeah.
And did you find that they are, there's this incredible, before you were talking, and I thought it was this incredible quote. It was by Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning. And he says, anyone with a why can withstand any how. And I think that that's often like the story with social enterprises.
Yes.
They find their why before their how.
Yes. You're going to find a way, one way or another, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. And I think
that's what you're
I think
passionate
that's
about.
That's what happened with the school. And I'd be interested, do you think that's been happening with the other social enterprises that you've interviewed?
100%, because each of them, and I know them quite personally, and we talk, and I lead a charity myself, and you know, so we can empathize and sympathize with the struggles. I mean, it is hard work, and anyone that owns their own small business or is in the trenches trying to make things happen, it doesn't matter how things look on the outside. There's constantly roadblocks to what you've got to overcome. I mean, last year, 2020, threw everyone into a spin.
Yeah.
And, you know, for many people in the world, it's still, you know, really challenging.
And I think you're right. Like, you just need a why to get through that, to push you through. I think Daniel Flynn, the founder of Thank You Order, has this incredible story of just being in university and just, like, having this crippling, guilt about all these kids having to cart water all the way back to their village, like walking 20 km to get water, carting it back, and then having people in the community dying of waterborne diseases like cholera and diphtheria, so I think everyone starts out with a why, which I think is incredibly interesting.
Yeah, and that why is often something that impacts you and touches you in a very personal, real way. It's one thing to kind of maybe watch a documentary, and some people do, and they're in, you know, started watching a Four Corners documentary on the Uyghurs in Xinjiang, I think in China, that are just some of the most persecuted people on this planet, over a million imprisoned, the most ever since the Holocaust. I mean, these things are just incredibly gut-wrenchingly, it just blows your mind what they're going through. And again, for a lot of people, it seems distant when it's just a statistic or it's something so far away. But when injustice or when something that just doesn't seem so right intersects with your world, your family, it changes everything. That's the moment that gets you.
Yeah.
I think we were just like incredibly lucky to, I mean, Jim had been into the slum before, but just like as we were in year 10 and we were going into this like this slum, which I mean, it's hard to describe it in words, but it's you know, you walk over this bridge and there's raw sewage. It's just a bridge over raw sewage, like a kind of wooden plank bridge. And then you're in this absolute maze of, it's like there's a canopy of corrugated iron that's like rusted.
Mm.
So you duck underneath this corrugated iron canopy and it's all just mud walls built from just like a garbage heap. So there's like plastic bags packed into the mud walls. And it's honestly, it's a maze. It's if we weren't being let in, we'd get completely lost and we'd take in, I think, so the guys who were armed taking us into there to get to the school, because you have to go through a few different gang territories. Regions.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Honestly. And so these guys are like, they have pistols kind of like at the ready.
Yeah.
And guide us through. But like the thing that was most reassuring is Josiah, the principal of the school, was with us. And it's just incredible seeing how the community responded to him. Everyone just had so much respect for him.
Yeah.
And he really is our boots on the ground there. And
I think you're so right with you know, being so close to the issue at hand.
Mm.
I guess one of our biggest challenges is that Africa seems like a world away to people here in Australia.
Yeah.
You know, we're pretty familiar with Asia, with America, Europe, but Africa, you know, a lot of people don't know whether it's a country or a continent, let alone, you know, what's going on, you know, on the ground. And that's been, a big challenge, us trying to, you know, show people. And we've been so lucky with, you know, visual media help from people like Jude Kalman, you know, creating a film for us, because when people see visually what it's like, it makes a huge difference.
Let me tell you about one of our partners, Freedom Broadband. They're an incredible profit for purpose business. Freedom Broadband is your all-in-one internet and telephone service provider, whether it's for your business or your home. Now, their internet connection and speeds are simply amazing, and they're in another league when it comes to the quality of their customer service. But here's what really sets them apart. When you switch to any of their services, they'll donate $5 every month to a nonprofit cause of your choice. As the founder of You Belong, an Australian-based nonprofit charity, one of the greatest challenges we face is fundraising. And I think I can speak for almost all leaders in the nonprofit world when I say that being able to have a residual income coming into your accounts to support your work is a dream come true. And like most nonprofits, our work is dependent on the generous support of individuals and groups that share our passion to empower refugees to integrate and thrive here in Australia. What that means is that we spend more time and energy looking for ways to raise support. And what I desperately love to be doing is spending that time and our limited resources developing and growing many successful programs that we run. But here's where our friends at Freedom Broadband come in. You see, a few months back, I was on a 4G wireless connection at home through one of the largest phone and internet companies in Australia. And each month I was nervous about going over our usage, getting a nasty bill at the end, and I was working on a lot of the podcasting and videos at home, and the speeds I was getting were just painfully debilitating, and I finally decided to give Footy Broadband a call, and within 2 minutes I was on the call with Graham completing my application, and within a week I had completely switched over to their $79 a month unlimited plan, and I can tell you firsthand, the service has been phenomenal, and I have a direct line to their customer service team whenever I have a question or need assistance. Now the studio and office where I work has switched over to Freedom Broadband as well. We're on their business plan and we haven't looked back. And how cool is this? Little by little, connection by connection, Aussie-owned and locally run Freedom Broadband is now actively supporting the great work of non-profits in communities all around Australia. Simply by switching your internet to Freedom Broadband, you can help transform the lives of those less fortunate. And that's why I love these guys. Get this, head to freedombroadband.com.au and quote Justice Matters on your application form, and they will donate $50 from the activation fee to support Justice Matters. That's going to enable us to continue this podcast and inspire the world where everyone belongs. That's freedombroadband.com.au. Say goodbye to expensive, mediocre internet with poor customer service, and hello to top-notch internet service and the good feeling of knowing you're supporting a great cause. Join Freedom Broadband today. Quote Justice Mattis and let's partner together with the internet that's helping to change the world.
We were actually, it was on the Gold Coast here, we were pitching at an event. It was just like a startup business pitch. And we ended up, I think we won the pitch.
Yeah, we got the People's Choice Award.
Yeah.
I noticed you got a few awards, right? You social entrepreneur finalists, as well as the what was that award you were talking about there?
We recently awarded, I think it was a Global Changemakers Award.
Global Changemakers Award.
I don't think that's been announced yet, but
oh wow. So do we need to edit that out of the
No, it's fine. It's fine.
All right.
But yeah,
congratulations, we met man, that's awesome.
Cheers. But yeah, we met Jude at the end of the night, and she happened to be coming over to East Africa at the end of the year. Yeah. And she said, you know, if you can come over and meet us there, we'll make a short film for your story, for your school and for your company, Nice Coffee Co.
So we got back, booked our flights straight away.
Yeah. We took her up on that offer. And
wow.
That she joined us with a Channel 9 reporter with a Gold Coast photographer, Whitney Palmer, and they just helped us shape and tell our story so well, visually through the short film. We've got a Whitney published a coffee table book,
which
we give to.
So
I should have brought one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We give to all of our new clients, and they can just, you know, leave it in their like waiting room for everyone to see the sort of impact that their coffee's having.
Yeah, and we wanted to show them the school. So we with all the camera gear, we took them into Kibera slum and did the whole, like, you know, had to get the guards in, the armed guards. And we got in there and it was just incredible. So you go through this like corrugated iron jungle and navigate the maze, and it opens out to the school, and it's full of just like 400 like laughing, smiling, like
beautiful,
incredibly happy kids. And and we got there, and so we were doing kind of our filming for this short documentary, and Josiah, the principal, took us aside, and he was obviously a bit disturbed, and he just had a meeting with a member of the government. They were going to close the school down. Then they'd already closed 100 other schools, like St. John's schools, down. And Josiah was distraught. And we said, surely there's a way we can get around this. And he said, the only way is to re-roof the buildings. Because the government official's excuse was that the roofs were unsafe. But really, they just didn't want to pay. They are meant to fork out a bit of money to each primary school, and they didn't want to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of gave us the why. So we had the reporter with us and we decided that we may as well start this campaign to re-roof. And it ended up being to rebuild a lot of the buildings at the school. So that was incredible. So we got back and from Kenya and we got on to the morning breakfast channels and and we told them that we were starting this GoFundMe and we needed, I think it was, what was it? Was it 30 grand at the time to to redo all the roofs, which is just incredible. Like 30 grand wouldn't get you that far in Australia.
No.
But
get you the permits.
To right.
Whatever.
And we're going to pretty much reconstruct this whole school for, for 30 grand. And so we got on the Today Show and I remember driving back after the interview. It was a live interview. And you get a notification every time your GoFundMe account gets a donation.
Yeah, it was pinging off. I think we're at like 10 grand before we hit the car.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just this like
the most dopamine hit I think I've ever received.
The most incredible thing. And just to see all these other people just like sharing in your journey and like they're buying in and there's just complete and utter trust. There's like trust in you that you'll deliver on what you promise and just so much faith. And that was incredible for us. That was like, okay, the Australian public like still cares. Like I mean that was just it's like such a beautiful experience and that really kicked off our journey. That's where we were like, okay, this is serious. Like they've trusted us and now we have to deliver. And so that was like that was all just Jude Carmen who you've had on this podcast, and so she got us started, so we're forever in her yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's so good. Let's make it a little real because there's probably a lot of people listening maybe they've got an idea. Maybe they're trying to figure out, or they've got their why and they're trying to figure out, well, how do I do this? How do I make it happen? Can you think of some of the, you got the kickstart to get going, but that kind of does last so long, right? It's only so many days of those moments. And you could say Outland Denim, who we've had on, and remember that time when Meghan Markle wore the jeans and it kind of took things to a new level. But there's challenges afterwards. Can you think of any like real challenges or difficulties that you've had to face and maybe how you navigated your way through it? I mean, I think it'd be really...
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I mean, for anyone who's got an idea, like we're both so young. Our whole team is very, very young. And, you know, we're not experts at anything. We're still learning so, so much as we go. And we've been very lucky to have so many people around us in especially the Gold Coast, Brisbane sort of startup, social enterprise sort of scene. So many, people who have been able to mentor us and teach us things along the way. But yeah, at the end of the day, we've made so many mistakes, so many things that look back on going, geez, like, I wish we did that differently.
Wow.
But there's no like better way and there's no better way to learn than just literally we just dove in and had a crack.
And we were talking about this in the car on the way down. We were saying if we had to go back and give ourselves advice,
I
think we'd stay like pretty quiet. I think we'd try and give ourselves some confidence. We'd say back yourself.
Yeah,
there's this incredible quote that half of people's failures is reining their horse in just as it's about to jump. And I think I'd say that.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I think the failures are where you learn. And Jim was saying this that without failure, you don't get like the learning curve.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of our failure has been kind of like iterative, just trying a different thing and just throwing a lot of darts at the wall and seeing what sticks, and then running with what sticks.
Yeah, you can only like learn so much from the startup guide textbook or whatever, until you feel these things physically, like, I don't know, losing your first customer or first negative feedback to an experience, you know, that's when you feel it and you go, oh, I don't want to do that again. Like, I'm going to do something differently.
Yeah.
You know, it made me think how any negative setback, it's incredible how, and it's always hard to do when you feel the emotional weight or, you know, the discouragement of something that just doesn't go as to plan. But the amazing gift of perspective that you can actually bring to that. I remember getting an email from somebody who was just really not upset, but they were very much critiquing the approach to what we were doing as a charity, right? And I just kind of took it to heart real personally. But a lot of people would probably just take that person and be like, all right, you're critiquing, this is somebody I kind of really value this person, but I might just have to just walk on without them and just carry on. And I remember sitting down, it took me that like 2 or 3 days, I had to just not do anything, don't rush, that would be my other piece of advice, don't just knee-jerk reaction. Yeah. But I remember a few days later I wrote an email and I thanked them for their critique, and it opened the door for me to share even more openly and honestly and transparently, even about how, mate, there's probably ways you could help me. And the response I got was that person ended up just doing a complete 180, making this real generous donation, and just totally like this person who I thought was lost was now suddenly even more in on what we were doing.
Yeah.
Not because I'd convinced them or whatnot, but because I was willing to just, I guess, take a different perspective on it. And
yeah, just and like raw honesty.
Yeah.
I think that's it's so true. Like, if you can make yourself vulnerable, people trust you. And it's like, it's incredible. Like, and I think we found that with the rebuilding of the school. Like, it was just a really raw appeal.
Mm.
And people trust, which is it's incredible.
Yeah, it's a good example. You know, your darkest day could almost be the doorway to it and a direction you wouldn't have gone or you wouldn't have known where it would go from there. But good stuff. Any other bits of advice or anything else you'd say?
Yeah, I mean, I'd just say, like, again, like, backing yourself, having a crack, starting really small with your idea. Like us, we were just, myself, just testing this idea with friends and family. I didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't even know I was going to turn it into a company.
Yeah.
But then, like, I just got some positive feedback, positive response. People kind of came to like the idea.
Mm.
And then one thing led to another, you know. I didn't have this grand 5-year plan in place.
You didn't.
And then someone goes, oh, like, you know, we've got a coffee pod machine at home. Like, can you guys do us coffee pods? So then I did a bit of research, the sort of the market, who's drinking coffee pods.
Now, you could have said, no, we don't do coffee pods, you know, we're going to just keep doing what we're doing and do that. But instead you're like,
yeah,
okay.
And that probably come to bite me one day. Entering all these different coffee avenues. We've got a coffee van now. We do different events.
Really?
But yeah, just testing the waters with different things, seeing what works, seeing what, you know, sort of feedback you get.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's positive, then go for it. If it's not so positive, or, you know, you're going to need to invest a lot of money, then maybe think twice before diving into something.
Yeah.
I think we started with a few $100 in the bank account.
Yeah.
You know, just bootstrapping it. We still are.
Mm-hmm.
Again, nothing. We wouldn't have learned anything without having a crack.
That's our business model, fail and fail well.
Yeah, that's right. Or fail quick sometimes. Yeah. I heard it said, you know, I think it was Phil Knight from Nike says, if you're going to fail quick. Don't drag this thing down. Like, don't be so married to one thing and one idea. Like, have your options open.
Yeah.
Bob Goff, another mentor to me, he's like, instead of just backing one horse in a race, back them all, and then whichever one is like doing really well, then just get everything on that one, you know. And it's that kind of idea. It's the means, could be anything.
Yeah.
Coffee is what you've found, but you want to make a difference in the lives of these kids and the future of that country that's won both of your hearts. Can you just talk a little bit more about your actual business, just in case someone's listening want to,
good point,
to buy your coffee?
Yeah.
Get involved somehow?
So, Nice Coffee Co., I guess we specialize in supplying offices and the corporate scene. So not only our beans, but also doing machines and as I said, pods and everything. So we found a lot of traction in, small, medium businesses.
Yeah.
Starting to approach some larger corporates, supplying right across Australia now. Strongly in, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Cairns, and a few other larger cities. Mm-hmm. We go in, if they've already got machines, then we don't worry about that. We just supply them with our beans. Mm-hmm. And then I guess since COVID, all of our office customers, corporate customers.
They're not going into the
office. Yeah, no one was ordering. And we're like, what do we do? And so we did what everyone was doing, just like iterating, adapting.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when we launched our online e-com side. Yeah. Supplying households.
How cool is that?
Yeah, we do.
It actually forced you to go into another
fully pivot
avenue.
Yeah.
And it's been the best thing ever because, a lot of people work in offices.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if they order, a kilo or two for home, pre-ground just for their plunger,
mm-hmm.
and they like it, they'll, get us into their office, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we have this these kind of two business models, running side by side. We can supply to home, and we do a subscription to home where you can just order one off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also supply to offices, and we do the whole beans, machines, mm-hmm. and everything else. And then the third part is we also have a coffee van, which we park, outside Kangaroo Point or somewhere in West End.
Yep.
In the mornings. And that's been a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
So
who's the guy that has to park the car? Do you have someone that works for you?
Yeah, we've got some baristas.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
We've got a few events on the Gold Coast.
Awesome.
This weekend, next weekend up in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Get around. Yeah, it's a really good way of getting the word out. And meeting people. And then I guess obviously the core of the business model is using the profits from those beans.
Mm-hmm.
From those machine sales into the school. So like any business, we pay our suppliers. We're now realizing that, we have to start doing marketing because we can't rely on the Today Show forever.
Yeah.
So expenses and then using those profits in funneling them into the school for various projects.
Right.
Wherever I guess it's needed the most.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout COVID, all of the teachers were receiving a bit like an Australian JobKeeper package.
Wow.
So we're employing 11 teachers throughout COVID, and we still are. And it amazes me, the other day we sent, it was just $3,000 for February teachers' salaries, 11 teachers. It's ridiculous. And we'd love to increase that salary to, beyond the standard Kenyan wage. But can you imagine in Australia?
It's just what an impact you can have.
Over
there with the conversion rate. Just one cup of coffee can just have such an impact.
Yeah. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
So what's it like working together and on this? You both co-founders. Is it do you kind of Yeah, we clash.
Get on each other's nerves every now and then.
You're actually lucky to get us in the same room together. Okay. Usually we clash pretty
locking
badly.
Horns.
No. No, it's been incredible going into business with a friend. It's there's no beating around the bush, as they say.
Yeah.
You tell it how it is. So if I'm being ridiculous, Jim lets me know about it pretty quickly. Okay. And same goes for him, yeah. But it's been a lot of fun. We've had an incredible amount of fun. We were saying before we started recording that half of our meetings are just devoted to paying each other out.
Well, we can afford some time at the end of this podcast to make fun of each other and how things went.
Watch out, Jim.
All right.
Don't hold back.
I've got thick skin.
But yeah, we've got a big year ahead, I think.
What's going on?
Yeah, we're pretty ambitious this year. A few different projects in the pipeline. In a business sense, we're trying to score some really solid corporate contracts. You know, national supplier with a few companies, which will be really, really exciting. We've just signed a few really cool contracts up in Brisbane with some colleges.
That's awesome.
And in our project sense, in the school sense, we've also got some really exciting projects ahead. Talking with Josiah, the principal, and looking at the possibility of actually buying the land of which the school sits.
Yeah.
One of the big problems at the moment is that this school, St. John's, the school is situated on a lady's private land, and we pay a monthly rental. But that comes with its risks. And you know, we've put so much money into the infrastructure.
Yeah, renting
here in Australia and building a pool or something, like a new deck, you know.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that. And it's kind of what we've been doing, and in the long run, if we want to ensure the sustainability, the long term vision and education of these kids, then we really want to own the land.
Which is that's a big undertaking. And so
legal barriers, I think.
That's a new phase of your journey, new challenges. That's awesome.
It's every year presents new challenges. Like last year it was rebuilding the roof. This year it's all about buying the entire school. So we'll see how we go.
That's so phenomenal. Anything else on the horizon? It sounds like, I mean, you said you got some events, but you guys are participating in an event this weekend on the personal front, right?
Yeah.
Is that me? You're looking at me.
Are you both? Aren't you?
Oh, you have forgotten.
You forgot? You're
no,
running.
No, I haven't forgotten.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. We're doing a half Ironman together. Like I'm doing the run. Jim's doing the cycle.
Wow.
And we've got another friend doing the swim. But
So what is a half Ironman? How long is that?
How long's your ride, Jim?
I'm running 80 kilometers.
You're running?
Riding.
Riding 80 kilometers.
Yeah. Just concerning.
Have you, Jim, I've kind of got a bone to pick with Jim because, I've been training, a tiny bit, bare minimum. But every time I was living with Jim and every time I'd go out for a run, Jim would be, you know, on the couch or behind his laptop.
Oh, come on.
And I don't think he's been training. I don't think he's even got on the bike in the last month.
Yeah. No,
make sure you don't lose some places.
I'll come through on the day.
I
did 40K the other day.
Oh, nice.
That's half the distance.
And I tell you, 40K really, it was not easy.
Yeah, I did 15K, so I have to run 22K, and I did 15K and almost killed me, almost died.
Well, once you've done that, this is kind of new news for You Belong as well. We're doing a Bike to Belong campaign event.
Wow.
So it's 80Ks over 8 days.
Oh,
over
wow.
8 days. So you'll be able to smash that in one
first
day.
Jim will do 10 laps.
Exactly. Yeah, so we're letting people choose their form of bike. So whether it's a mountain bike, a road bike, you can go to your spin class and at your gym and ride that.
So it's not everyone's doing it together?
It's going to be virtual. Anyone can join in from anywhere.
Cool.
You choose your ride, you choose your pace. So whether you want to do it on the weekend, 40Ks, either the Saturday, Sunday, or whether you do it 10Ks every day. So it's a bit of a challenge that everyone can do, because not all of us are, you know, fit like you, Jim. You can just show up on the day and...
I think that's the problem. Jim's not very fit.
So we've got that coming up on World Refugee Week.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's over that whole week to talk about and the 80 million displaced in the world.
Wow.
And how do I jump on and join?
So, again, this is like, we're in the process of releasing. March will be, you can start registering for it. It's in June, so it's a little bit ways away. So, anyway, that's exciting news from our end. But again, awesome. Like, you'd do the 80Ks if you knew where it was going to go and the impact it could have. It's exciting.
I think it's incredibly important. Like, during COVID... exercise is the only thing that kept me sane. I think gym was the same.
Yeah.
During that lockdown. So I think it's incredibly important.
Yeah.
You can run the 80K.
No, thank you.
Now you can even ride a motorbike. How's that? I've got this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just do the 80K motorbike ride last day. Again, for me, I'd probably do that because that sounds like fun. I've never really ridden them. I'd probably have to get my license first. Unless I was on a dirt bike on someone's property or something, tearing it up one day. But
come out to the farm.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, well, guys, it's been great chatting. Any other ways that people can get involved, learn about you guys? Where are you on the worldwide web?
Yeah.
Tell your local office and cafe about us.
Definitely.
And jump online, like order a bag. And see what you think. You can get delivered right to your front door.
We should have brewed a cup and enjoyed some.
Right, we have these keep cups you can buy in there. We should have been drinking from the keep cups.
There we go.
Spread the word. Yeah. Awesome. Our social media is?
I think we're just Nice Coffee Co.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, like, we're very young and love to learn from and connect with like-minded people like yourself. We're always learning. Hit us up if
shoot him an email. You got some questions? Sure. I think that's the awesome thing, man. How can we help each other on our way? Which is one of the reasons why I was really wanting to connect with you guys. Let's get together and chat. I'm sure this podcast will keep going long after we hit stop on the record button. But
thanks for giving us a voice. Incredible.
Yeah, well, you guys are doing phenomenal work. And I just, when I look at you guys, I see right past you and I see the eyes of those kids that have a chance at an education. And that's hope. That's a dream. That's an ability to make for their own life the life they dream of, but also a life that could impact and change their country. So it's amazing what you're doing. Keep it up. And let's keep in touch.
Yeah,
cheers.
Sure. All right.
Thank you. Yeah, cheers for having us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Justice Matters. I'd like to take this time to thank my audio-visual engineer, Jose Biotto, for your help in producing the show. I'd also like to shout out to the Patreon community that financially supports this podcast. Guys, thank you so much for your support. You can join them simply by going to patreon.com/justicematters. Very simple. A donation of $5 a month. You can become part of the Patreon community and get access to behind-the-scenes content and extras that I share just for you. Lastly, there is another really important way to help support the podcast, and that's simply by rating it or leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, maybe by subscribing on YouTube. Yes, we are a video podcast as well. Guys, thank you so much for listening in to this episode of Justice Matters. Things come again soon. Can't wait to share more episodes with you. I'm your host, Tim Buxton. Thanks for listening.